Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We are well on the way to another record high this afternoon, but I'll show you what's changed so that we may not see the all-time record for February.
Also, we'll hear from the airline passenger who prompted an emergency landing at RDU International. Plus,
I am going to testify. I want to testify.
And a South Carolina man charged with killing his wife and son takes a witness stand in his own defense. We'll tell you what he told the court.
So we are still on track to break a record high temperature today. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. It looks so beautiful out there. A lot of people are already out and about today enjoying these warm temperatures. And we've already broken some temperature records. It's not even the noon hour. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner with a look at why people want to hit the golf course today. Yeah, we broke a record this morning, which I'll show you in just a second. But look at this. Plenty of people out and about. We do have some clouds that are starting to build right now. We may see an isolated shower, especially in our central and northern counties. I'll show you the timeline for that in a minute. But look at that, 81 degrees. So we have officially broken the record for today, that previous record, 79 degrees. So we broke a morning record. We've already broken our afternoon high record. Look at that wind, southwest at 21 miles per hour. That's one of the reasons we're seeing such warm temperatures. So the morning temperatures, we typically think of as a record low. That's going to be, you know, 10 degrees, 15 degrees. But there's also a record warm morning low. And we broke that record at RDU and in Fayetteville. Just smashed them. 57 was the previous warmest. And in Fayetteville, it was 60. There's some more interesting statistics that go along with this, and we're going to dig a little deeper into it coming up in just a little bit. But take a look. Here comes some rain across the mountains. We're going to see an increase in our cloud cover, and we may see a few sprinkles late this afternoon, say between 5 and 7 o'clock around the Triangle area, and that could stop our temperatures from reaching 85, which is what our forecast was for today, yesterday. Take a look at where we are right now. 80 in Fayetteville, 81 in Clinton, 81 in Durham, 79 in South Hill. But look at this. Temperatures are running anywhere from a couple to as much as 5 to 15 degrees warmer than this time yesterday. With those clouds, it may be that we put a stop to the warming a little earlier than we did yesterday. We'll see how it all plays out. We're gusting to 30 in Fayetteville right now, 25 in Goldsboro, 18 in South Hill. So it's a very windy afternoon. We're going to hold our temperatures in the 80s until we see those showers popping up across the area later on during the evening commute. So coming up, I'm going to go through the timeline on Futurecast for the showers. We're also going to check in on what looks like it's going to be a pretty miserable Saturday coming up. Elizabeth, thanks. Disgraced South Carolina attorney Alec Murdoch took the stand today in his own defense. His attorney questioned him about the night his wife and son were murdered, as well as the days leading up to and after that night. Murdoch emphatically denied killing them. WRAL's Ken Smith has been monitoring his testimony. He joins us now with what Murdoch did admit to. Ken.
Well, this is an attempt, Renee, by Murdoch and his defense team to convince the jury that he is innocent of the June 2021 murders. When deciding to testify, Murdoch and his team asked the judge to limit the scope of questioning Murdoch would face under cross-examination. His attorneys don't want him questioned about alleged financial crimes, which the state has pointed to as a possible motive for the killings. The judge denied that request. Now, once Murdoch took the stand, the drama was immediate. In a stunning admission, Murdoch told the court he lied about his whereabouts on the night the murders happened. Here's what he said when his attorney asked him why he lied.
On June the 7th, I wasn't thinking clearly. I don't think I was capable of reason. And I lied about being down there. And I'm so sorry that I did.
Murdoch blamed his bouts with paranoia as the reason he lied. Murdoch talked about the days before the murders when he spent time with his son Paul, whom he referred to as Papa in his testimony. These, of course, are live pictures of Murdoch right now on the stand. A minute ago, they were listening to the 911 tapes from that night. He and his attorney went through that night, and they're going through that night of June 7th, 2021, almost minute by minute, laying out a timeline of his whereabouts to counter the prosecution's case. Murdoch's wife and son were found shot to death on the family's property that night in June 2021. Now, to reiterate, the judge ruled prosecutors will be allowed to question Murdoch about things relevant to the case. We'll continue to monitor his testimony for any new developments in the WREL Live Center.
It is riveting to hear him speak. Ken, thank you. And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, the Lee County Sheriff's Office says there is no threat to the safety of students at Lee County High School after an anonymous phone call was made earlier this morning. Lee County High School posted this to their Facebook, saying they received a call this morning that indicated a threat to the school. Students and staff are being moved to a secure location. Law enforcement is investigating. Until the situation can be assessed, parents are asked not to come to the school. But about an hour ago, the school posted this, saying the Lee County Sheriff's Office has determined there is no threat to the safety of students and staff at Lee County High School.
Thanks, Michelle. New at noon, for the first time, we are hearing straight from the disruptive passenger who forced an emergency landing at RDU International Airport, where we have a live look right here for you. Tiffany Miles here is facing a charge of airport obstruction. At this hour, she is out of jail and on her way home to Washington, D.C. WREL's Joe Fisher is live out at RDU, and Joe Miles says this was just a big understanding.
Jeff, that's right. I got a chance to talk with Tiffany Miles for about 30 minutes this morning. She was on a Greyhound bus headed back to Washington, D.C. She told me that RDU International has banned her from flying out of here. Listening to that frantic radio traffic from yesterday, you really get the sense that airline employees thought that Tiffany Miles was trying to breach the cockpit. However, the way she tells this story is that she was simply walking toward the bathroom, which was near the cockpit, after getting into an altercation with a flight attendant. This American Airlines flight from Jacksonville, Florida to Washington, D.C. was diverted to RDU International around 3:30 yesterday afternoon. American says Tiffany Miles was unruly and presented a security concern, forcing that emergency landing. This all started after Miles tried to order a cocktail to calm her anxiety. She was told there was no drink service on the flight, and she says the flight attendant refused to ask the pilot why there was no drink service. After that encounter, Miles says she got up and was walking towards the bathroom, also in the direction of the cockpit, when she was stopped by the flight attendant and a passenger who stepped in to stop her from walking any farther. Miles returned to her seat and says about 5 minutes later, the flight crew approached yet again. They grabbed her out of her seat and briefly used zip ties to restrain her. She says at that point, she became irate.
I mean, I started freaking out because so many people started getting up on me. I started freaking completely out. Because I'm like, oh, this is not called for. It's just ridiculous. And she kept just smirking and laughing. And I'm like, you know, this is, did you get a kick out of this? Like, what are you doing? Okay, I'm allowed to get upset. Getting angry is not against the law.
And Miles was charged by RDU Airport Police with airport obstruction, a misdemeanor. She's scheduled to be back in Wake County Court in March. I did just check in before this, before going on here with the FBI. They tell me that she is not facing any federal charges at this point. Jeff.
All right, Joe Fisher clearing that up. Thank you. Live out at RDU. In a tweet late last night, the FAA said it is making progress toward new safety measures on planes to handle situations like this. Those include requiring new planes to have a second barrier to the flight deck.
And now to that horrifying story out of Orlando, where police are trying to piece together a mass shooting. A gunman is accused of killing a 20-year-old woman, returning to the crime scene and gunning down more people, including a news crew and a 9-year-old girl. Guad Venegas shares how this crime is not only affecting the public, but those who have to report it.
Twice in one day, the same Orlando neighborhood, the scene of murder and mayhem.
QB advisory, a multiple gunshot wound.
Authorities say a gunman opened fire at the same location just hours apart, killing at least three people and leaving two others in critical condition. Authorities arrested 19-year-old Keith Melvin Moses, a teen they say had a troubled past.
He has a lengthy criminal history to include gun charges, aggravated battery and assault with a deadly weapon, burglary and grand theft charges.
Among those killed, Dylan Lyons, a 24-year-old journalist for Spectrum News 13 in Orlando. In a GoFundMe page, his sister writing he was a happy soul and wonderful person, adding he loved his fiancée and was a devoted son to his mother and father. Our Orlando NBC station's coverage, emotional.
There are people here who knew that reporter, who his fiance and I were just embracing. This is every reporter's absolutely worst nightmare.
The reporter and photographer were in Pine Hills covering a deadly shooting that happened earlier that day involving a 20-year-old woman who was shot and killed in a vehicle.
He was an acquaintance of the woman.
Just hours later, investigators say the suspect returned to the crime scene and opened fire at the news crew, killing one and critically injuring the other, Jesse Walden, who has been able to speak with investigators and colleagues, according to Spectrum News 13 anchor Greg Angel. Other members of the media jumping in to provide first aid on at least one victim before emergency crews arrived. Deputies say the suspect then went into a nearby home, killing a 9-year-old girl and shooting her mother.
Had no connection to the reporters and no connection to the mother and a 9-year-old.
Spectrum News releasing a statement reading in part, "Our thoughts are with our employees' family, friends, and co-workers during this very difficult time."
That was Guad Venegas reporting. We also want to take a moment to say we're thinking about Spectrum News 13 in Orlando as they grieve the loss of their co-worker who was killed doing its job of reporting on the community. It's what we do every day.
An 11-year-old is recovering after being shot twice by his father during a 20-hour standoff in Cary. The father killed himself after that. Police say he was experiencing a mental health crisis. If you or a loved one is in need of help, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 988. Today, a group working to keep Orange County schools safe will meet for the first time. The School Safety Task Force is a direct response to this when members of the Proud Boys disrupted a school board meeting in 2021. The Proud Boys are a far-right group, and several of its members have been convicted for crimes linked to the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. The School Safety Task Force will meet tonight at 5:30 in Hillsboro. Members will discuss how the government, schools, law enforcement, and the community can all work together to improve school safety.
Next at noon, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg tours the site of the Ohio train wreck, how people in that town are taking out their frustrations after the toxic spill.
Also, Italy could face another drought. What that would mean for cities that depend on waterways for transportation and safety services.
And breaking weather news, we have just broken the record high at RDU, where you are looking live right now. The previous record was 79, and we're sitting at 81. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WR Severe Weather Center with a look at some showers that could pop up across the viewing area.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Right now, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg is addressing the media in Palestine, Ohio. This is a live look right here. Residents are furious there over the toxic spill, and they are taking out their frustrations on the head of the company responsible for the train derailment. Earlier this month that took place, and NBC's Jesse Kirsch spoke with those people there who are worried about their health and livelihoods.
Overnight, emotions running high in East Palestine.
You burned me. We were going to sell our house. Our value went poof. It's Norfolk's disaster, not on a train derailment.
Residents grilling the CEO of Norfolk Southern on a CNN town hall.
I don't feel safe in this town now. You took it away from me.
What I can do and what I will do is make it right. We're going to get the cleanup right.
Even with officials promising the municipal tap water and air in East Palestine are safe, questions are still piling up. Residents like local business owner Mike Zalanek fear for their livelihoods. He's building a new storage facility in the community.
I'm already losing business.
The CDC says it's on the ground, looking into residents' lingering health concerns.
Officials say the air is safe.
Do you buy that?
I don't buy it. I smell it here today. Same plastic smell.
With the railroad and government responses under intense scrutiny, this small community is also quickly becoming a big political football.
It's the people that are in here, they're going to get a nice free meal, all right?
Former President Donald Trump visiting Wednesday, taking swipes at the Biden administration.
Your goodness and perseverance were met with indifference and betrayal in some cases. They were intending to do absolutely nothing for you.
The EPA says it has ordered the railroad to perform a cleanup and cover all expenses. The Biden White House blaming Mr. Trump and other Republicans for loosening rail safety measures and environmental protections during his time in office. Later today, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg is expected to meet with community members. But some residents here worry they could be facing adversity for generations.
You can't dump that much stuff in soil and get away with it.
That was Jesse Kirsch reporting. A judge has ordered a mental evaluation for a man who was arrested in North Carolina while driving the car of a dead Lyft driver from Florida. Florida officials want to extradite Matthew Flores to face charges in the death of Gary Levin. Flores is also charged with murder in a separate case. He was stopped in Rutherford County while driving the Lyft driver's vehicle. Florida officials found Levin's body in a small town in rural Florida.
We're waiting to learn the sentence the judge will hand down to R. Kelly in his federal child pornography case. In September, the R&B singer was convicted of producing child pornography and enticing a minor to engage in criminal sexual activity. He's already serving a 30-year term for sex trafficking. Prosecutors have asked that Kelly serve 25 years in prison once his 30-year sentence is complete. Today, convicted rapist Harvey Weinstein faces sentencing in another rape case. This case involves the 2013 rape of an actress in Los Angeles. Prosecutors have recommended Weinstein receive the maximum penalty of 24 years in prison with no eligibility for parole. The 70-year-old is already serving a 23-year prison sentence for a sexual misconduct conviction in New York, which he's appealing.
Weeks of dry winter weather are beginning to raise concerns that Italy could face another drought. The warning comes as Venice faces unusually low tides. They're making it impossible for the gondolas and water ambulances they use to navigate some of those famous canals. Scientists say the Alps received less than half its normal snowfall, adding to the emergency. Recent weather forecasts signal some much-needed precipitation and snow in the Alps in the coming days.
We've already broken the daily record high, and today could be close to the warmest day ever in the month of February in Raleigh. WRAL's Nye Harden spent all morning at Lake Johnson Park, where people are enjoying the warmth.
A lot of people out today, many of them on the water. We have seen them canoeing, fishing. We see people out with their dogs right now, as you can see. A lot of people working out, walking. And this is just one of those days where you have to take advantage of it. That's what they're telling us, because the warmest day in February on record was February 26, 1977, when it was 84 degrees. Now, we're going to come pretty close to that, but we have only had 80-degree temperatures in February 14 times since 1945. We spoke to some people who say they notice this is a rare moment.
I mean, you probably could never come again to the lake and walk around it in February. I keep saying that again, but it is that ridiculous, at 7 in the morning and be able to just enjoy it. So I'd say if you have the opportunity, it's really good. It's really beautiful. It clears up your mind. So it's always a good thing to do.
Nye Harden, WRAL News in Raleigh.
It is a rare treat to get this warmth, and you can see people are taking advantage.
Lovely at Dick's Park, wherever you go out there. Elizabeth Gardner's in the WRAL Severe Weather Center right there. See the flags at the DBAT blowing a little bit there. Can that help to keep it more comfortable?
So all this air is coming from the south, so the stronger the wind is, the more warmth we see moving in, and that's why our temperatures are so warm. Just a very strong wind coming out of the south. We're gusting up to 25, 30 miles per hour right now, and we'll see that for the next few hours before it begins to taper off a little bit this evening. We're seeing variably cloudy skies across the area. Still plenty of sunshine here in downtown Durham, but I'm anticipating that the clouds will fill in as we get closer to 4 or 5 o'clock, and that may stop our daytime heating. Of course, we hit 81 right there at noon at the top of the hour, and that broke the previous record of 79. So we've already broken the record. Our dew point is also a bit high as well. 64, that's a dew point that we would see more often in the late spring, early summer. So it does feel a little moist out there. Temperatures should climb up to around 83 and stay there all the way until we get into the evening, and then we'll drop slowly into the 70s. Let's take a look at our current temperatures. 80 in Fayetteville, it's 82 in Clinton, 80 in Rocky Mount and Goldsboro, 77 right now in Roxboro and South Hill. So already we hit 81, and that breaks the previous record of 79 in 1980. Our current temperature in Fayetteville is 80, which ties the record, but certainly we'll see that temperature climbing, so we should break the record in Fayetteville, if not in this hour, in the next hour or so. So we're going to break more records today. Our temperature is 87 is what we're forecasting in Fayetteville, 85 in Clinton, 81 in Roxboro, 84 in Rocky Mount, and 85 in Southern Pines. Let's talk a little bit more about some of these numbers. Originally, it looked like we might hit that 85, and it's not out of the question. It's just going to depend on how fast those clouds move in this afternoon and where those light showers end up landing. But certainly, getting to that 85 is not a guarantee. The previous hottest day in February was 84 back in 1977. We've hit 83 in 2017 and in 1989. So we're going to be close to the all-time. This month so far is the warmest on record. So far this winter, we're on track to be the warmest ever. We've had 5 days this month where we've tied or broken records. And as far as 80-degree days, we've hit that 14 times in February since 1985. Let's talk 1945. Let's go back to that record warm low. This is the other record that we broke today. We hit 65, and the previous warm low was 57 at RDU, and in Fayetteville it was 60, and we hit 66. So we blew that right out of the water. So this is the warmest morning that we've ever seen in February at RDU. We saw that temperature this morning at about 7 a.m. Ties for the fourth warmest morning we've ever seen in winter at RDU. Winter is warming the fastest of all seasons. And while that may feel comfortable, it's not necessarily a good thing for a lot of reasons. We're seeing a longer pollen season, a longer insect season. We do have some light showers that are back to our west right now. We're going to see those showers moving in this afternoon. I'm going to walk through the timeline for you on FutureCast coming up in just a few minutes. We're also going to talk about Saturday. Our temperatures are going to drop through the 40s during the afternoon. We'll talk about the timeline for rain over the weekend coming up.
So February comes back for a little bit, but not long enough.
It's all out of whack.
It totally is. Coming up on WRL News at 5:30, no medic available. That's the last thing anyone wants to hear after a 911 call. What we're learning about recent emergencies in Durham County, where police on scene were left waiting for a life-saving help.
Plus, WRL investigates rising food prices that are straining family budgets. While we pay more, we'll show you who is profiting from inflation tonight at 6. And still ahead this noon, Target is taking a chance on shipping. Even as inflation looms in the U.S., the plan they think will position them to maintain a foothold in the industry.
Plus, babies' brains are like sponges. One simple ritual parents should follow every day to boost babies' learning.
Google wants workers to share desks, and Target has a plan to speed up delivery of your next order. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Target is investing $100 million to speed up the delivery of online orders. The retailer will put the money into opening centers used to sort orders that arrive from dozens of nearby stores. The items then get grouped into an efficient delivery route and sent out to customers. The supply chain hubs are seen as a way to both speed up and lower the cost of delivering online orders. Target is making the bet on e-commerce even as sales slow. The retailer says it needs to keep up with customers' expectations for getting orders quickly. REI is getting rid of forever chemicals for good. The outdoor gear retailer has new standards for products it sells. It calls for removing chemicals found in some clothes, backpacks, tents, and other items. Under REI's plan, cookware, clothes, and many textile products it sells have to be free of the chemicals by the fall of next year. And all textile products need to be forever chemical-free by the fall of 2026. There are about 12,000 types of forever chemicals. They don't break down and have been linked to risks for cancer and other health issues. Google wants some employees to share desks as it cuts back on office space. The new desk sharing arrangement will apply to the company's 5 largest U.S. locations, according to CNBC. Google says it expects workers affected by the plan to come in on alternate days so they're not at the same desk on the same day. Google tells workers a matching process will establish desk partners to help make the new setup a positive experience. The desk sharing comes as Google cuts back on its real estate footprint. It also laid off 11,000 workers last month. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
More restaurants are turning to monthly subscriptions in an effort to attract customers. A growing number of eateries is offering up the services. Chains such as Panera and PF Chains are experimenting with a subscription model in the hopes of boosting business. Some are offering unlimited drinks or free delivery for a monthly fee. This comes as personal finance app Rocket Money says the average American enrolled in 7 subscriptions last year.
In just a short time this afternoon, Durham's police chief will give us new insight into the city's crime rate. But one element has already come to light, a preview of what leaders will hear in our next half hour. And here are your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
The state's two largest police unions could soon get permanent seats on the state commission that governs policing. State lawmakers unveiled that proposal today. WRAL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie is live at the legislative building with the new developments on this. Laura, good afternoon.
Renee, lawmakers are proposing to add representatives of the Police Benevolent Association and the Fraternal Order of Police to the state panel that certifies law enforcement officers and sets standards for them. The NC Criminal Justice Education and Training Standards Commission, it's a mouthful, sets the qualifications for law enforcement officers and dictates the training that they're supposed to have and the standards they have to adhere to. It also maintains records of officers who've had their certifications suspended or revoked because of illegal or unethical conduct. Now, the commission already has 35 members, from police chiefs to leaders in law enforcement and education, but it does not include the two largest police unions yet. David Rose is president of the Police Benevolent Association. He says his group and the Fraternal Order of Police together represent more than 22,000 police officers. That's more than two-thirds of all certified officers in the state.
We believe that in today's day and in today's policing world, it's imperative that the rank and file police officer have a perspective when you're developing their training outlines and the things that are going to impact them.
Now, it's not clear yet whether state lawmakers are planning to add 2 more seats or whether they're going to repurpose seats that are currently held by other interests. They haven't actually filed the bill yet, so we haven't been able to see that detail. But it appears likely to have bipartisan support. Renee?
WRAL's Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie reporting live from the state legislature.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, Alex Murdaugh is testifying in his own defense right now, and he confirmed that he lied repeatedly to officials about his whereabouts on the night his wife and son were killed. He says he attributed his lies to drug addiction, which caused him to have paranoid thoughts, going on to say, on the night of June 7th, I wasn't thinking clearly. Take a listen.
But once I lied, I continued to lie. Yes, sir.
Why?
You know, oh, what a tangled web we weave. But once I told a lie, I told my family, I had to keep lying.
And he did apologize to his family and others that he lied to. Again, he denies killing his wife and his son.
Michelle, thanks for that. Today, we'll get new insight into Durham's crime rate, including a disturbing trend involving children. WRL's Laura Levine is at the Durham Police Department with what's in that report.
Today, Patrice Andrews will present this crime report to City Council. And this crime report is a roadmap of how to move forward to address trends the police department is seeing in the city. It allows City Council to determine where they need to deploy more resources to and why. We took a look at the fourth quarter crime report, which shows violent crime decreased by 10% in a number of different categories from October to December of last year. However, the report shows the ages of people committing crimes are very young. It shows that as young as 9, they're involved with serious offenses like burglary. Last year, 6 17-year-olds are believed to have committed homicides, and 5 14-year-olds had weapons violations. Data from police shows juveniles are also becoming victims of crime, too, with 7 shots so far this year. Mayor Pro Tem Mark Anthony Middleton tells me it's a problem that needs to be addressed across the board.
And it's a very disturbing trend. It's an editorial, not so much on them, but on us as parents, as leaders,
as guardians, as role models, as mentors. And it's a wake-up call for us that no matter how many great things are going on in our city, all of our celebrations have to have an asterisk next to them. They have to be muted because our children are literally dying.
And City Council will get a full look at that presentation at that work session happening today from 1 to 5 o'clock this afternoon. Laura Levine, WRL News in Durham.
It's been 3 years since Ahmaud Arbery was killed while jogging in a Georgia neighborhood, and his memory lives on. The 25-year-old black man was murdered in a racially charged hate crime. Cell phone video captured a modern-day lynching watched by millions of people around the world. The men behind the crime were convicted of state and federal charges. In honor of Ahmaud's love for running, groups across the country are sponsoring 2.23-mile runs marking the day he was killed. Together We Stand NC is sponsoring several events across the state in Arbery's memory. A portion of the proceeds raised will go toward local charitable organizations. Tonight's run begins at 6:30 at Ponysaurus Brewing. That's located on Hood Street in Durham.
An RSV vaccine could be available to use by August. Pharmaceutical company Pfizer's newly developed vaccine was made to prevent critical cases of the virus. Research shows RSV is the highest cause for infant hospitalizations. A single vaccine dose given to pregnant women will protect infants from birth to 6 months old. In an effort to speed up the preview process before RSV's peak season, the FDA is reportedly set to approve the first vaccine of its kind by late summer. Families in Durham can get fresh cooked meals made by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina this afternoon. Volunteers will be on site at the Durham Children's Initiative to distribute those meals. The address is 2101 Anger Avenue. Participants can stop by between 4 and 6 p.m. The meals will be made today at Blue Cross NC's campus cafeteria. Melatonin is often referred to as the sleep hormone. What to consider before taking it to cure your sleep troubles?
We'll tell you how often parents should read to their babies and the difference new research shows it can make and how quickly they begin to talk. Take WRL News with you wherever you go with the WRL News app. Get breaking news alerts and watch our newscasts live anytime on your favorite device.
Coughing and shortness of breath are enough to put anyone on high alert for COVID-19 these days. Doctors say people with exercise-induced asthma often experience coughing, wheezing, and chest pain or tightness 5 to 10 minutes into a workout. But these symptoms typically resolve once an athlete settles down within about 60 minutes.
Very frequently when you have an athlete and it's exercise-induced asthma, you'll only notice the symptoms when they're actually doing their sports. It typically will come on within 5 minutes, but people can have it at any point in time with their exercise. And as they stop exercising, their symptoms should get better.
But if they don't, if the breathing problems persist after exercise, that doctor recommends seeking emergency care.
People who struggle to sleep often try to take a pill to help them sleep. Some may turn to a melatonin supplement. Many are offered over-the-counter in a variety of dosages, and the right dosage varies from person to person. Taking too much melatonin can even have the opposite effect, making it harder to fall asleep. It's also important to figure out what's behind your sleep problems before trying to fix them yourself.
Mental health issues, sleep apnea, all of those can kind of link into it. Sometimes even just the medications that you're taking could be contributing to your sleep problems.
Scrolling through your phone and watching TV in bed can also be contributing to your sleep problems. Sleep experts say people should avoid those practices before bedtime.
Reading more to your children may improve their language skills. Researchers say reading to infants just a book a day may help them in their language development. Infants showed high language scores when their parents read 7 books a week to them compared to those who had less read to them. Advanced language development was already seen by infants of 9 months old. In order for improvement to be seen, parents had to consistently read to their infant before they turned 1.
Being deaf has a stigma. A lot of people are afraid of what that means.
A deaf cheerleading team in the Midwest left it all on the floor and walked away with a top prize.
Also, she never stopped believing in herself, and now she holds a state wrestling title in her weight class. Hear from the 16-year-old female athlete who made history.
Happening right now in the WREL Life Center, we now know the crew of a Norfolk Southern freight train carrying toxic chemicals in East Palestine, Ohio, tried to slow the train moments before it derailed. This, as they say, an overheated wheel bearing set off an alarm. A sensor registered the wheel had reached 253 degrees above the normal temperature. Crew saw fire and smoke, and they warned of a possible derailment to the dispatcher. Five of those cars carrying 115,000 gallons of that vinyl chloride, that's that colorless hazardous gas that went all over the place here. The report was released today. The company, Norfolk Southern, has repeatedly stressed its commitment to helping the town recover from all of this.
A cheer team in Iowa is making history with their first competition win, and it's a big deal for a good reason. Jonah Gilmore shows us how they're moving and grooving without hearing the music.
It's not about what you hear. It's more so what you feel.
We feel everything. It's so important.
This beat helps the Iowa School for the Deaf cheerleaders move and groove. At the beat of the drum, they feel a vibration.
We practice and do our routine with the drum and the music, and we do it repetitively again and again.
The ISD cheerleaders made history.
It's just so exciting. I can't even explain it. I'm at a loss for words.
Competing and winning the Great Plains School for the Deaf Cheer Championship.
Really just proved that hard work is important and it makes a difference, and having passion.
Senior Brittany Adams says she always knew she could do anything. And even when she felt nervous, she went for it.
I gained a lot of confidence. I was really hesitant at first. And I felt like now cheerleading is part of who I am.
Getting to this point took a lot of hard work.
We ask a lot on the girls. It's a big commitment. But they gave everything they had to this year.
The team hopes they can serve as an inspiration.
Being deaf has a stigma. A lot of people are afraid of what that means.
Proud to shatter glass ceilings, proven just because they are deaf, they can still make their presence heard.
Once you commit and you give it your all.
What an inspiring story. That was Jonah Gilmore reporting. A high school junior in Maine has made history doing what no other female athlete has done. She won a state wrestling championship. The 106-pound 16-year-old is the only girl on the wrestling team, and she became the first girl in Maine to win an individual state title while wrestling a boy. She did it in 1 minute and 44 seconds.
It feels special anytime one of your athletes achieves something like that, but when it's your own kid, it feels 100 times better.
That anyone can do it if you put the work in. And, I mean, I started young. I didn't miss a practice. You just gotta dedicate yourself.
It also helps that her twin brother, Gavin, is her training partner. By the way, he also won the state title on Saturday in his weight class. So certainly something in the blood there, but she makes it look easy, but she's worked hard for that.
Not messing with that family.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Wrong ones there for certain. Can wrestle outside. That's the thing. Elizabeth Gardner of the WRL Severe Weather Center. Do something outside today.
Whatever your sport is, get out there and do it. Tomorrow still looks pretty nice, but man, we're going to talk about Saturday in the next couple of minutes, and I don't even want to. Look at this. How much fun. Of course, this is the Whirligig Park here in Wilson. So many people, I think it's kids, because they're just running around. Looks like they're having a field trip out here in Wilson. Beautiful sunny skies, windy conditions, definitely. We're seeing some gusts of 25 to 30 miles per hour right now, and but they're loving the sunshine and the warm temperatures, that's for sure. We'll continue to have gusty winds all the way through about 5 or 6 o'clock, and then the winds will begin to settle down overnight. And it won't be quite as windy tomorrow as it is today. All right, we've been talking about records and records and records all through my weathercast. We'll kind of talk about our potential. Now, this morning, we had new runs of the computer models that showed more cloud cover this afternoon and a chance of showers. And typically, if we see that, we want to drop the temperatures a little bit. And so we dropped the high to 83. We've hit 82 already now. The previous
all-time record for the month of February was 84, set back in 1977. We talked about that earlier. We're just a few degrees from that right now. So we'll see. Keep checking back. Mike and Kat will have a lot more on how things turn out this afternoon. So we'll be close to it. Maybe we'll end up tying it. Fayetteville's already hit 82 as well, and the previous all-time record for Fayetteville, 85, back in 1930. So both of those are potentially in jeopardy. We've already broken the daily record highs for today. So looking at 83 potentially, but we're very close to that already. Tomorrow 72, and then Saturday 51 with 66 on Sunday. So we're about to take a big ride with our temperatures. Here's a look at some of the rain that's back into the mountains right now. That is going to be sliding our way, and we'll see just a few isolated showers, especially near the Virginia line. At 3 o'clock, we're seeing some of that in Roxborough and South Hill. At 5 o'clock, it's very lightly scattered across the area, and it moves on out by about 7 or 8. Most of us are not really going to see any measurable rain out of this, but our thought is that if those clouds move in and we see a few sprinkles, it'll stop our afternoon warming, and we won't get quite as warm, but it's taking its time getting here too. On Saturday, here's how things are going to happen. Overnight, we see the rain spreading in. That's 6 a.m. on Saturday. Here's lunchtime on Saturday, and then into the afternoon, we start to see the rain dissipating, but more of it develops back to the west on Sunday, so we're going to be watching Sunday potentially for a shower late in the day also. How much rain will we see Saturday? It's not likely to be terribly impressive, probably around 1/4 of an inch. There could be a few pockets where it's closer to 1/2 inch. But the big story Saturday is really the temperature. At 1 a.m. Saturday morning, it'll be 50 degrees. But then as we get through the day, look at this, 8 a.m. 44 and at lunchtime 45. So that temperature that we see on the 7-day forecast is not what it's really going to feel like during the afternoon. Of course, it could always be worse. We're looking at the last day, really, of that major snowstorm across parts of the north. And that is still causing flight delays all across the country. Saturday is going to be an inside day for us with those cold temperatures and the rain. But next week, we're back to warmer temperatures.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Coming up, the American Cancer Society is holding a first-of-its-kind fundraiser tomorrow in Raleigh. And you'll want to wear your dancing shoes for this one.
And here's a look at last night's Powerball drawing. Good luck.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. The disruptive passenger who forced an emergency landing at RDU tells WRAL it was all a misunderstanding. Tiffany Miles says she has anxiety and was told there was no drink service. She says the flight attendant refused to ask the captain why. Miles says after that, she got up to go to the bathroom in the direction of the cockpit and was stopped by the flight attendant and a passenger. The flight crew used zip ties and sat her in the back of the plane until it landed. Miles was charged with airport obstruction.
The state's two largest police unions could soon get permanent seats on the state commission that governs policing. State lawmakers made that proposal. It's not clear yet whether lawmakers intend to add more seats or repurpose existing seats currently occupied by other parties. The bill has not yet been filed, but it appears to have support from both Republicans and Democrats.
Another weather record was shattered today. It's 82 degrees right now. RDU broke the record high for this particular day. The previous was 79, and it'll be getting even warmer this afternoon.
Tomorrow, the American Cancer Society is holding their first Discovery Ball to help advance the fight against cancer. For more than 100 years, the American Cancer Society has led the effort to find cures. WRAL is a proud community sponsor of the event. The Discovery Ball will be held at the Pavilion at Angus Barn in Raleigh Friday, the 24th, with registration starting at 6:30 p.m. Our pet of the day is a sweet girl who loves taking naps. Meet Charlotte. She's 2.5 years old and weighs 55 pounds. She likes other dogs as well as all sorts of people, including children. If you're interested, contact SPCAWake.org. And this is our cue to go out and enjoy the weather. NBC News Daily is next on WRAL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Enjoy the day.
Local news. Doesn't stop here. Coverage continues across all major streaming platforms using the WRAL app and on WRAL.